Jason's currently a program coordinator at the Substance Abuse Prevention Program at the Opportunity Alliance in Portland, Maine. He has also contributed to the as an author of HealthMap, which is a global infectious disease surveillance project at Boston's Children's Hospital. Jason has worked in Cambodia, Haiti, and has consulted for the Vestergaard Franzen on HIV treatment prevention in Zambia. He received his BA from Colby College and his Master of Public Health from BU. Jason.
Thanks. Good morning. I have no disclosures. So my practicum was as a student fellow for the Pulitzer Center on Crisis Reporting, which is a nonprofit based out of Washington, D.C., that provides grants to international journalists to report on undercover topics. And the idea is to report on public health issues, social justice issues, and to do so in a way that most media organizations are no longer doing, whether it's through lack of funding to have foreign correspondents or perhaps that a crisis occurs and there's no follow-up. And so they want to create a solid foundation of responsible reporting, which is the practicum goal. And so how do we go about accomplishing that? We do that by pairing a public health professional with a communications professional. So the Pulitzer Center student fellows are always one student from the School of Communications at BU and one student from the School of Public Health. And the idea is to create cross-disciplinary learning. So in order to apply for the Pulitzer Center fellowships, as a student in the School of Public Health, I had to take classes in the School of Communication to learn a little bit about journalism, and vice versa for the student from the School of Communications. And this was my co-fellow in the summer of 2012, Megan. She was a graduate from the School of Communications in 2012. She was a photojournalist, and Megan is phenomenal. Our project would not have been the same without her. And so this presentation kind of goes in chronological order. So we arrive in Washington, D.C., and the first part of the practicum is you spend a month researching your topic. And our topic was cholera in Haiti. And at this point, it's June, July 2012. But the first case of cholera in Haiti was in October of 2010. And it was relatively early on after the earthquake, and it erupted in the country, and it spread very quickly. At this point, this summer right now, there's been over 8,000 deaths and 600,000 cases. And so this is an epidemic curve. And at this point, we're doing our research, and we're trying to learn as much as we can about the way cholera spread in the country. And the epidemic curve, what you see on the far left is October, and there's no baseline before that because the baseline was zero. There had never been a documented case. And then all of a sudden, you have the emergence of a disease on the country pictures on the top, moving from left to right. You have day one, where the first case occurred in a rural area in Deschapelle, or around Deschapelle near Tibonite Valley. But by day seven, you have thousands of cases, and the disease has entered the metropolitan areas in St. Mark and in Port-au-Prince. And so as you can imagine, along with this enormous epidemic spike, you also have very significant media coverage. And it's media coverage that really caters to big headlines and jagged fonts and like sirens and things like that. And there are images of people laid out on the street. There's social unrest as people try to get water. And it was very well covered. But then as the disease progresses on the axis to the right with the epidemic curve, you notice by 2012 on the far right, when we arrive, there's very few cases. And at this point, the disease has become endemic in the country. And so the media coverage is no longer existent. And this is kind of the point at which we land. So we start doing our research and reporting. The other aspect of those months the month in Washington, D.C., is to try to get a handle of kind of the other side, the partner side. So for me, that was trying to get a hold of journalism. And my understanding of journalism when I got to Washington, D.C., was that you have like a fedora with a press badge, and you arrive at events, and people want to talk to you. And so I bought a little notepad, and I was really excited, and I was going to be writing things down. And I started to realize that people were looking at me weird because they were just typing on their iPhones. And by the time I left the interview, they had already emailed their story to their editor, and it had probably gotten on CNN website before I even got back to the office. And so it was a steep learning curve, and the notepad never really made it out with me after that experience. But I was able to narrow down three stories that I wanted to cover. Starting at the bottom, the UN court case. So with the emergence of cholera in Haiti, there were a lot of questions about how cholera got to Haiti. There were a lot of accusations being thrown around, and it was at that point a very people were mad. And the data points to the idea that it was actually a series of UN peacekeepers who were from Nepal, had been in Nepal in their home country during a seasonal outbreak of cholera, had not manifested symptoms, and had then brought it to Haiti. When at their base in Haiti, the latrine system overran into the river. That's kind of the best knowledge of how it arrived. And so they, at the time, were building a court case against the UN, and it was a they're tapping on every single person. They're trying to get a hold of every single person who had cholera in the country, had provided them a certificate, and they were trying to create a class action lawsuit. Nothing like this had ever happened with the UN, and nothing like this had had a precedent in international health and international law. So it was very interesting as that was going on. Another topic I wanted to cover was the Sanchal campaign. Which was run by Partners in Health in conjunction with several other partners. And they were starting a vaccine campaign, and there were a lot of questions being asked because the vaccine is about in between 60 to 80% effective, and the effects wear off over about 2 years. And Partners in Health had it in their mind that they were going to do a pilot program, and they did that, and they did that very well. But the people were questioning whether that was the way to spend millions of dollars in Haiti, whether this was a stopgap intervention, or whether this was something that was going to be able to be integrated and eventually maybe vaccinate everybody in the country. And the final topic that I wanted to cover, being someone who's really interested in social behavioral health at BU, was latrine use. And so I found that a lot of organizations have been providing latrines in these rural areas, but they couldn't get anybody to use them. So, you know, the water and sanitation infrastructure is part of the reason the cholera is spreading so quickly. And for a lot of people, there's a resource that can help stop that, and there's education around it, but it's not being used. And I think that's a really crux issue that we deal with in public health a lot, so it really interested me. One of the reasons that I like this practicum is because to cover those stories and be able to talk about them articulately and responsibly to the general audience, you had to pull on a lot of the courses that you take at BU, and in that way kind of integrate and synthesize a lot of that knowledge. So for latrine use, you have to be able to talk about the epidemiology of cholera, how it spreads, how people get it, and then the social behavioral aspect of the latrine use. And there's a lot of policy implications in the country as well, with the campaign and the government running it versus the UN court case. So I was really excited to be able to kind of, as a student at the time, like pull on all that, and I felt like I was applying a lot of what I was doing. So Megan and I then traveled to Haiti, and you know, when we got on the plane, we kind of had that shadow of all the previous media coverage. That was in the back of our mind. But when we arrived in Haiti in July 2012, we found that this is actually what cholera looks like. And while there had been a crisis for maybe 14 days, there had been social unrest, the pressures of this disease don't override people's normal pressures to continue their everyday life, to continue to make a living. And people that work with water, whether it's on the river or in the brackish areas by the ocean where cholera is most happy, where the bacteria grows the best, continue to fish and they continue to use the water. And so what we found was that our practicum wasn't as much finding out about cholera, but was about finding how cholera is one piece in kind of the larger puzzle that is life in Haiti. And that required a lot of kind of going out of our comfort zone and just trying to talk to people about, you know, how they interact with water, what their daily life looks like, if cholera is a concern for them anymore. And what we found was that, you know, cholera was something that people thought about, but at the point when it's endemic and maybe there's a couple hundred extra cases during the rainy season, it's not something that people think about, especially because it's just part of a myriad of other diarrheal diseases that exist in a country with very poor water and sanitation system. So it was definitely an interesting experience trying to understand this one piece that we'd focus so hard on in Washington, D.C., through the lens of kind of the entire livelihood of Haiti. And it was a great experience and very humbling as well. So while we were there, what we were able to accomplish was over 20 interviews with key informants, and by that I'm referring to country directors for organizations like Partners in Health, Doctors Without Borders, and various government officials trying to balance NGOs and the government that was working there as well. We traveled through 5 cities. We were conducting interviews in 3 different languages, which, as anyone who's done an international practicum knows, is the language barrier is something that you might feel like you're prepared for, but will always be there in some capacity. And, you know, maybe a translator says, I'm able to speak English, let's go. And so you get in the van and you go out for about an hour, and then you find out that all they can say in English is, I can speak English. And now you're translating between French and English and Creole and French, and the people that you're showing your tapes to when you get back to translate are just laughing at you because you're way off base. Like, what you're trying to say is just not coming through at all. And it was a good experience. I included this picture because the gentleman on the right was kind of a miracle worker for us. His name is Andre, and he had owned a business before the earthquake, and the building that his business was in collapsed. And so at that point, with no journalism experience, he decided that he was going to become a journalist of the Haitian people for the Haitians, and he's co-reported on a series of articles for the New York Times, and it's just fantastic. And it's just one of those people where if you need something to happen, he can make it happen, and there's no hesitation. You know, we'll be having breakfast. He's like, who would you like to speak to today? I'd like to speak with someone from DINEPA, which is the Bureau of Water and Sanitation, which I would think nobody would ever know anyone from that Bureau of Government because it's small and it's esoteric and it's just out there. He pulls out his phone. He knows 3 or 4 people. And that was amazing because that was kind of the crux issue for us, was that when we were in Washington, D.C., and we were preparing this, we were focused on cholera. And so what we learned was that we needed to look at cholera in the context of the livelihood in Haiti. But we also had to do a lot of development in terms of the trip that we wanted to have because we didn't know anybody in Haiti. We were sitting in Washington, D.C., and we knew that we were going to have 3 weeks in the country. And we knew that we had this money to spend through the fellowship. But we didn't know anybody. We didn't know how to get a hold of people that we wanted to talk to. And so that was a huge issue for us. And we got really lucky in that we were able to hold focus groups with people that got vaccinated and with people who had had cholera. And a lot of that was through the networking that we did on the front end. We were able to get in touch with a documentary filmmaker who is making a film about cholera in Haiti. It's called Baseball in the Time of Cholera. And also with there's a hospital in rural Deschapelle. It's called the Albert Schweitzer Hospital. And they've been doing great work for 60 years. And I was researching them and found out that the gentleman who runs it is from Pittsburgh. And I'm from Pittsburgh. So I sent him an email and just filled it with as many Pittsburgh references as I possibly could. I was like, oh, you're from Pittsburgh, surprise. Like, I had no idea. And he let us stay there for a week. And it was just that kind of, you know, putting it out there and just trying to step out with as many people as you could that I think really, really helped us make it what it was. And so at the end of our trip, I had 5 deliverables, which had been set out for me beforehand. One feature story, which was long and was on latrine use. That was kind of the main topic that I wanted to cover. And then 2 shorter stories. And those ran in the Huffington Post and Global Post, which is an international news outlet. And then the next 2 were actually really interesting for me because they required me to learn a couple of new skills. One was an audiovisual slideshow, which I had to learn Final Cut Pro for, and the other one was a slideshow. And I was really excited about that because when I was writing the stories, I really wanted to create something, again, that was aligned with the practicum goals, that was responsible and used a lot of data and was rigorous, and that if I showed it to someone at the School of Public Health, they would say that, yes, this is a practicum that, you know, you should be proud of and that adequately represents the education that you're getting at BU. And I don't want to say that I didn't take that approach with the audiovisual slideshow, but it allowed me to approach it in a very different way because you have to tell a story through pictures and create a small movie, which was really exciting for me. And so I got to focus on how cholera looks in an institutional way in Haiti because the cholera treatment centers are closed or they'd been condensed along with the, maybe not correlated, but definitely parallel when the media coverage fell off for cholera in Haiti. So did the funding for the cholera treatment centers. And so a lot of them closed, and a lot of people no longer have cholera. But the way that it still exists is that people have their cards that certify that they got cholera, and they have their cards that certify that they've been vaccinated, and all the paper records are still in the hospitals, and they're just kept in all these enormous boxes. And so you've got thousands and thousands of paper trail, pieces of paper that kind of represent cholera's history in the country. So that was what I got to focus on, and it was fun. And so after the practicum, One of the first things that was great for me, I think that this practicum attracts people that are interested in writing, just in general. And so I started writing for HealthMap, which is a program at Boston Children's Hospital. And it is a global infectious disease real-time surveillance site. And the articles that we write for them, as you might guess, are not for the general audience, because when you say global infectious disease real-time surveillance site, most people are not interested in wearing, like, seeing where that site is. So that has been a great experience for me, is trying to write for more of a professional and a public health standpoint, and to a different audience. And then the other thing that this affected in terms of my continued education at BU is that I wrote my culminating experience, which is kind of the School of Public Health equivalent of the practicum, in a long-form journalism format. I had a very patient advisor, Jen Beard, who worked with me. I think it was the first time that it had been done in a journalism way. And it was a long process, trying to write something that was well-researched and then market it to media outlets for the general public. And do we market it as 10 pages? Do we market it as 5, 4? What would people be interested in reading? It was about a social media campaign called Fat Smack that was run by Boston Public Health Commission. And the idea was that people were getting smacked by fat, literally smacked by fat, by their sugary beverages. And it was a long process, but it was definitely exciting for me to write about it. I learned very quickly that if you are an aspiring journalist, you cannot write anything over 1,000 words, or people will shoo you out the door quite quickly. So that meant that I had to get my entire capstone thesis down to like 3 pages and then start marketing it out. But it eventually ran in the Atlantic, which was good. And so lessons learned, and kind of going from the micro to the macro. The first one is that journalists have it hard, too. I get my news from the Colbert Report and the Daily Show, and there's a lot of totally justified evaluation about how the news is packaged and brought to people in the U.S. But I really encourage you to think that there are people out there that are doing the kind of work that the Pulitzer Center espouses, that are taking their time and are just creating really responsible journalism. It's hard. People that are doing that and that are living in the country that they're writing about most likely are writing 10 pieces simultaneously. 6 of them will run on a personal blog or something and not be paid. Of the remaining 4, maybe 2 will get picked up by a media outlet, at which point they would get like $200 each, and that's your 3 weeks. And so it's very, very difficult to maintain that lifestyle. The way the media is set up definitely doesn't allow it, but people are doing it. And I think it's really important, because that brings me to my next part, which is that the role of communications plays a vital and complicated role in public health. We're very often tasked with being gatekeepers for data and knowledge, and a lot of the time, if a study comes out, it's our jobs to communicate that to other health professionals, to communicate it to the public, and incorporate it into our programs. And when we do that, we're taking, you know, very specific language, and we're trying to translate it in a way that there's still fidelity to the message, but that it lands well on people so that maybe they'll listen, first of all, but then also possibly change, you know, please, change behaviors, and that things will move forward. And that's a very tough role, and I think that we all do it in some context, but this practicum was definitely a great experience in narrowing that down to kind of a fine point. And I think that that's important because good examples, whether it's published in the media or something that public health professionals kind of translate for each other, they create the best practice and they change the norms. The general public aren't the only people that read the news. We as public health professionals do as well. And typically, I feel like people who are very passionate about it, we're probably going to email our friends and like say, look at this program, or like, look what these people did. And it's one way for these things that are working to kind of translate and get around really quickly. I would feel that I should say there's a new program at Boston University. It's called the Pomoja Project, and it's funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And they had their first trip this year. My understanding is that it went very well. And this is their goal, is to create responsible stories about aid that works. And so this is kind of an idea that I think is happening at BU School of Public Health right now, which is great. And then the final lesson learned is one that I have been taught in many settings over and over again, but still seems new every time I learn it, which is just patience. Our international practica are filled with days when a lot happens, and they're filled with days when you sit and nothing happens, but you tried to make things happen all day, so it feels busy, and you're tired, but nothing actually happened. And so it can be frustrating, and so it's just that patience. And I know that that was something that I apply to my job now, and our practicum students, we come out of school pretty hot. We want to apply everything that we've learned right away, so we just need to let things happen on their own course. These are my special thanks. Thank you.